musically, I was raised by wolves.
Now, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I just ran into people. The style I developed is, I guess, unique to what I do. At least that's what they're all saying. I have a unique style. But when I first learned to play, I stumbled onto a guy up where I grew up in upstate or midstate New York, down around West Point Military Academy on the river, a guy named Jay Unger, who's a fiddler, who very famous fiddler, wrote this tune called Ashokan Farewell, amongst many other tunes. And he taught me how to play clawhammer, he and John Cohen of the New Lost City Ramblers, back in 1970, 71, right around there. And then I didn't know there were great players around the area. I didn't know there was Trishka and Bill Keith and Bela Fleck and all these people learning how to do it, and a multitude of clawhammer players. I didn't move in those circles. I didn't know how to contact those people, so I just kind of listened to CDs and practiced with my tape player in the truck. In 1980, I moved to Crystal River, Florida. I was working at the power plants. I'm sorry, 1981. And I ran into the half of the Rice brothers who were working as iron workers and pipe fitters down there. And that started really the beginning. The Rice family took me under their wing musically, and for about, I'd say 13 years, until the big flood, the storm of 93, when Tony had to leave. But Larry Rice in particular, and Tony, who were the ones that Tony also took me on the road. He saw what was going on, and we'd play these duets together constantly, and just having fun. He used to love to play duets, so he knew that things were starting to happen. That's where that first album came out, Mark Johnson with the Rice Brothers and Friends.
And the style you were playing was the clawgrass style on that one, or was more traditional?
Well, it was never traditional. I thought I played old time.
When did you find out? I'm not playing it the way everybody thinks.
Oh, gosh.
I
went to, I was encouraged to go to Mount Airy, North Carolina, back in the, this is like 1992, 93. David Holt had asked me to come up there. He says, you'd really have a good time up here. So I went up and I met with him and I wandered around and I went down this one end of the field and I started playing. And people were really polite. You know, they finished the one song and then they just quietly folded up their chairs and folded up their cases and put their instrument and walked away. And these were big names in the business, and I was so embarrassed. You know, I just played what I play, I thought it was old time. So I was sitting down by the old field men's room down there. There's a picnic area, and Holt comes by with a TV crew, and he goes, "Mark, what you doing down here?" And I go, "Well, I told him what had happened." He goes, "Oh, you went to that end of the field. You're not supposed to get out of that. You're supposed to go over to this end of the field here. They'll understand what you're doing." That was a very purist old time end of the field. That Alice Gerard down there, all these people.
So you're not saying that you have a problem with that style?
No, not at all.
You just...
I love it. I love all forms of banjo music. Always did. I play bluegrass banjo. I play chromatic three-finger style. I play clawhammer. I try to play old-time stuff. And I'm out on the peripheral. Maybe I'm the guy that's not preserving the sound. You know, I'm just out playing music. I play music and I choose banjo to do it on.
Well, Mark, maybe in some ways you're kind of like the Elvis Presley of banjo music, because he mixed a lot of things that he heard and kind of created something new, right? I mean...
There's five T's: taste, touch, tone, timing, and tuning. And if you're a musician playing acoustically, or anywhere really, you want to shoot for those things, and you want to really explore each one of those.